Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpiny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 14th October 2022, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Matthew Carvell, Director of Spot FX Trading at MUFG. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Hi, Derek.
Hi, Matt.
So, clearly a lot going on in the UK. Been a momentous 2 weeks. We're starting to see a U-turn. This trust announcing changes. Obviously, Kwarteng has been sacked. What do you think? Is this enough to stabilise confidence and support the pound going forward?
I'm not sure, Matt, to be honest. I've just listened to Liz Truss, as I'm sure you have as well. And, you know, I think the markets, when they heard about Kwasi Kwarteng's removal that was rumoured earlier, that the logical conclusion from that was that we were expecting a complete 180 U-turn.
Yep.
And we haven't really had that. And I think that could be concerning for the markets. So, you know, we've had the corporate tax cut. Not raising it reversed. So the corporate tax rate will increase to 25%. And that was the most expensive component within the 45, then 43 billion tax cutting proposals, about 18 billion. So it is a chunky reduction. But given my view that I think the markets were anticipating, potentially the complete scrapping of the plan, there's still a lot of work that's going to have to be done in terms of benefit cuts and government departmental spending cuts in order to bring about a credible plan that takes debt as a percentage of GDP into a downward trend over the medium to long term. So, like, I'd imagine Jeremy Hunt has taken the job as Chancellor. And, you know, I think certainly the markets liked it in terms of initially the pound rallied on that news specifically. And to me, that made sense. You know, one of Liz Truss's mistakes was when she came to power, she picked a cabinet that was very much to the right of the party. There was no sign of leaning out to the other side of the party to have a kind of a unifying cabinet. And she was criticised for that. This is certainly an attempt at that. It does two things. It takes in somebody from the left side of the party, but it also takes in a kind of an elder statesman, if you like, somebody certainly who has a fair bit of experience. Although I would say that certainly from a parliamentary experience, he doesn't have anything in terms of Treasury. He was culture, health, and then foreign secretary. So, maybe that's concerning the markets a little bit. But he's credible, and I don't think he would want to be associated with something that lacks credibility. So his appointment is helpful, but you know, I think by the time you get to the announcement of the details and the OBR, then you know there's no way the government are going to announce a plan that the OBR doesn't tick off. Yeah. It'd just be pointless.
Yes.
So there will be that mechanism where the OBR gives it a tick. But the problem is it going to be credible for the markets in terms of the scale of potential spending that would be required in order to meet those objectives? And that's where I think the markets might remain nervous. And you know, Liz Truss has done huge damage. You know, if you were to get a pen and paper and write down the worst case scenario for the first 37 days in power, you know, you wouldn't have gone this far in terms of the way things have panned out for her. So it's been pretty bad. And there's still these rumors, front page of the FT today, certain members, ex-cabinet ministers who basically think she should go. And that's a terrible situation to be in at this point in time. So going back to the original question, Matt, I'm not convinced we're done on this yet. And certainly if our view unfolds in terms of the broader global macro scenario of the dollar strengthening broadly again, risk remaining very fragile, equity markets moving lower, you have this, as I've mentioned before on this podcast, you have this huge twin deficit that needs financing. And let's not forget that foreign investors own about 30% of the gilt market. And that's relatively high. So, you know, how do you ensure that foreign investors remain convinced on financing what is, when you take the budget and the current account combined, you know, something in the region of 10 to 15% of GDP. So, I'm not convinced. But obviously, next up is going to be the Bank of England on the 3rd of November. Bare minimum, I would expect 100 basis points, given 75 is kind of the new norm. It's the new 25, isn't it?
Yep.
So 100 basis points, bare minimum. I think we could still be in for some volatility and choppy gilt markets next week, when clearly the Bank of England will step away.
So for you, only a complete reversal would support the pound or something a bit more aggressive by the Bank of England?
It's a good question. I'd say, I think a complete reversal would have been better today, for sure. It's now down to Liz Truss. It's about her coming out and being articulate and compelling and convincing that what she wants to deliver is deliverable and is not going to be hugely divisive in terms of reinforcing the income gap between the wealthy and the lower income households, because that would be, I think, very negative as well. So, you know, she's got a lot of work to do. And as we all know, when confidence is lost, it's very, very difficult to regain.
Extremely. So we still think pound under pressure.
Yes, yeah, definitely. You know, back down below 110 and, you know, heading back down towards the lows we got to a few weeks ago.
Yep, I tend to agree. Another shock CPI print in the US, or certainly no signs of relief that everybody's been looking for. The reaction was non-standard, certainly not what we've been expecting or seen historically, the near history. Equities rallied, dollar sold off. Why do you think that was? And does it mark a change in trend? Will it continue?
Yeah, no, it was certainly, like, first and foremost, it was a bad print. It's not like there was something good hidden within the details that warranted this kind of equity market rally. So definitely wasn't that. You know, services inflation is clearly picking up. A couple of things. One might be that, it doesn't necessarily dramatically change what happens over the next couple of meetings. 75 was nearly priced before the CPI. It's now fully priced. The odds of another 75 in December have clearly gone up because of this print. We've got two CPI reports before the December meeting. Those two would need to be pretty good in giving some better compelling evidence of a drop. And then we might still have a scope for the pace slowing to 50 basis points. So that, I think, might have helped contain the longer end of the curve. Like the 10-year was only up 4 or 5 basis points. And of course, there are other factors, like rents are coming down when you look at some of the more timely data that's available. Zillow, the real estate website in the US, they produce data which shows that the ISM prices paid on a 6-month basis has plunged by the largest amount since 2011. The strength of the dollar means that, in our view, the import price, excluding energy, is heading towards deflation. So, you know, all of those factors still exist despite the bad data. Maybe investors are just willing to kind of look forward a little bit more and not react too significantly to the print. And then, of course, what was happening yesterday in the UK gilts market, or, you know, what we were just discussing, you know, we've moved up a bit now, but, you know, based on the Wednesday high to earlier today, the 30-year gilt had dropped by 70 basis points. And I think that had a dampening impact on yields elsewhere. And ultimately, that kind of limited reaction further out the curve on the US Treasury yield, that may have given them this catalyst for buying on the dip in the equity markets. But we did have a huge swing from low to high on the equity market yesterday. It was a 5.6% swing. That's the largest since the first days when COVID struck in March 2020. It is kind of textbook bear market price action.
Yes.
And therefore, we just wouldn't read too much into it at this point in time. And we still have the corporate earnings season to get through. Admittedly, some of the data today on the financials were better than expected. So, you know, maybe some anticipation that the news might not be as bad on corporate earnings. But ultimately, as I mentioned a moment ago, still stick to our view. It's going to be tough market conditions between now and the end of the year. And in that context, I'd be very surprised if the dollar could turn around and weaken from here.
Yep, pretty much agree again there. Finally, trade views and research. What trade ideas are you running at the moment?
Yeah, we are sticking with our short Aussie dollar position. So we put that on at 64. So we got down to about 62. We've rallied, obviously, the risk rally that I just spoke about, that's helped Aussie come back a bit. But we're still in the money. But and we obviously, what I've just said, we still think that's consistent with our macro view. We do have the party congress in China starting this weekend. President Xi obviously likely to be confirmed for another 5-year term. Now, bad news is that there's some renewed lockdowns because of a COVID outbreak.
Yes.
In Beijing and Shanghai, I think.
But still zero COVID generally, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, there is this anticipation that the other side of the party congress, that, you know, President Xi might start to move away from zero COVID. Okay. So there is this expectation that we might have a better outlook for growth going forward. I'm not convinced it's going to happen suddenly or dramatically.
Yes.
You know, maybe it's a story for 2023, but in the days immediately after the party congress, I'd just be amazed if there was anything dramatic on that front. So in that sense, it's another kind of negative in terms of the weakness of growth in China, and then coupled with what's happening elsewhere. Again, Aussie dollar looks like we can see those levels of 60 is what we've targeted, and we still think those are quite achievable.
Yep, I think there are outliers again in terms of central bank ideas, basically. Anything else?
No, that's all we have on at the moment. We thought about selling euro dollar, indeed buying dollar yen, even though intervention is there, and I think it is a risk. I think the fact that we've rallied back up so quickly and broken the levels at the intervention highs, it just highlights the futility of trying to fight dollar strength through intervention at this point in time. So, you know, the way we're going, I think north of 150 is looking more and more likely.
Yep.
So one for maybe next week.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.